Hi, and welcome to Street Level Marketing. I'm your host, Mark Lamplew Jr. This show is all about real tactics that actually move the needle. And today we're going to straight into the new frontline AI-driven marketing that small teams can run without a massive budget or a giant staff. My guest is Troy Cunningham Jackson, chief architect, inventor, and CEO of Sugar and Leather AI, and the creator of Aries AI, a platform designed to help small and mid-sized businesses run what feels like global scale marketing and operations engine for under 100 hours a day. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I want to start with you because the why behind the, you know, the kind of the build matters. A lot of business owners feel like marketing tools are either too expensive, too enterprise, or too fragmented. You know, SEO over here, CRMs over there, automation somewhere else, and none of them, you know, none of it talks clearly. I know in the automotive space, we got 4,000 vendors, you know, and none of them work together. It's kind of some stuff I'm working internally with AI, building my own platforms in-house. Before we talk platforms, where are you when you're not building? Like, what's the thread in your story and what led you to the architect systems instead of just campaigns?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So, you know, for me, it's all about the humans when it comes down to it. That technology never really interested me that much. I was, as an MCSE coming out of, as a dot-commer, Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer, you know, moved my way up through the corporate ladder, hyperscaled a mortgage company. And from there, I found my joy in helping people be successful. And for me, it was about creating frameworks for people to be successful in that I didn't need to tell them how to do their job. I needed to create a system that would allow them to be successful and then let them use their own creativity and their own voice and be themselves and be successful in that. And so, you know, when I left the corporate world, I went into coaching, actually dating coaching, life coaching, things like that. And you know, there I really connected with people more. I'd also gone back to school for education. And so it's all about lifting people up and making them successful and letting them be themselves.
Yeah, I guess, you know, going from dating coaching to like life, I guess you can say dating coaching is almost like an interview or, you know, so coaching might be a little bit similar.
Yeah. Personal branding, sales and marketing, it's all the same thing, you know, and, you know, the skills that I learned in business work in that realm. And then what I learned there works as I came back as well.
Cool. When you look at most small business marketing stacks right now, what's the real failure point you keep seeing over and over?
Well, you know, obviously what you're saying that, you know, systems don't communicate with each other. Everybody has their own logic and it ends up becoming too complicated, too cumbersome, and too expensive to connect. Or somebody just grabs an automated system and then it comes out flat. And the problem is that when you the best way for organic growth is through social media marketing. And if you're going to do that, the algorithms are going, you're going to have algorithmic decline over time if you just have this flat marketing in that nobody's going to see your message. So it has to sound and look human, even if it is AI generated, right?
Yeah, a good example of that is we use a CRM called DealerSocket. And I use another platform on the website called Pearl Diver to collect website visitors. So in order to get the website visitors to the CRM, I had to do like a 4-step system through Zapier for each, you know, each audience. There's like 80 audiences, you know, it's crazy how, you know, difficult it can be just to get those things set up. And no wonder you can't track your customer.
And then as soon as something breaks, you end up with disjointed information. You don't even know where it's broken. And when you're saying Zapier specifically, you're paying every time that thing activates, you're paying every single time, you know. And so whether you have credits or tokens or whatever that is, it starts to get expensive over time just simply moving data around that isn't even being useful for you.
Yeah, and it's your data.
Yeah.
You said you rebuilt CRM concept with agentic AI in mind. What did
Yeah.
old software rules force teams to do that you wanted to eliminate?
Yeah, I found that, when you use someone else's pre-built monolithic system, that it has its own rules to the data. And so you're constantly translating data from here to there, and you're essentially having to make the agents work backwards. So, when you have the longer the process is that you're running with an agent autonomously, the more hallucinations and the more weird stuff you're going to get out of the agent. And so as you break up the task into smaller and smaller pieces, you're going to get more consistent effort out of the agents. And you can set more things as deterministic, and then have less hallucinations and a cleaner deal flow.
Right. In plain terms, what is Ares AI actually trying to replace? A marketing department, a tech stack, or a decision-making loop?
Yeah, there's two sides of Ares AI. The first side that I started with, just because I started everything with sales and marketing, is the marketing department. Is that and Ares AI isn't necessarily looking to replace anything. It's getting humans into the business of being human, right? And let's just make something that if you try to do everything, you're not going to do anything particularly that well. Now, one thing I am going to do well is drive the SEO, AEO, GEO, and EEAT. And so we want to automate that marketing, because the problem is that even if you hire a bunch of marketing people, some of them are going to have bad days. You get inconsistent results. You need a huge team, or you have days that are missed. Whereas AI can go in there and do that every single time. So replacing a lot of that. Those social media marketers and the people who are just doing the posting on a daily basis, that you have them more orchestrate the agents than do anything else. So that's the marketing side, and that's where you're going to get your like a serious win right up front. The long-term value, though, is you could run an entire global business, because if you say you are selling something and now somebody in Pakistan or India wants to buy it, well, how are you going to do customer service at 2 a.m.? That's where your business ends up running you. And so I think the big win with AI and with agentic AI is that it works 24/7, so you can get back to being human.
Yeah, that makes sense. If I'm running a team, what's the first signal that tells me like I've outgrown the tools and I need like an operating system?
Well, I think it would depend on how many hours are you putting into your business, right? And how many hours is your team putting in? And how consistent are the results? Are you able to scale? I mean, it really depends on how big you want to scale, how fast you want to scale, and how much time you want to put into it. I think too many business owners, their business runs them more than they run their business, right?
Yeah, and also, I think what a lot of people tend to forget about with all the AI and the agentic stuff is the token costs, and it factors into, what you're like. I'm using I use a few open calls to do cold marketing on Facebook, and it's doing well. It's, 5 or 10 leads a day, but there's a cost to that, and it doesn't make sense. So it's like a new area, a new expense that wasn't there before.
Yeah, same thing. Whether you're using OpenClaw or you're using Zapier, you're paying per thing. And then depending on whether you use n8n to replace Zapier, or then you start using Lobster to start replacing the deterministic tasks, so that way you're not burning credits. And then two things happen when you create the deterministic tasks. One is that you get consistent results every time, no hallucinations, no misses. It's 100%. But then you have to spend the time with the developers to create those deterministic tasks. And that's where Ares comes in, is I want to just give you the whole business, because so many business owners say, oh, I want AI. Really, what do you want it to do? I don't know. What's your budget? I don't know. Okay, here's a system, less than $100 a day. Here's all your marketing, here's all your AI. use this, then tell me what you need. Now I can build you an individual system. And even developers love it because they spend so much time building these simple automations over and over and over. Here, let me just make it all simple for you. Here's a system that all does it for you. Now you can spend your time with your customer figuring out what they really want, as opposed to creating simple automations that are a waste of your time and a waste of money to create that one by one, company by company.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're out of time this segment, but in the next segment, I'm going to break down the Aries AI stack with you, and what it automates, what it should never automate, and how you keep performance marketing sharp while the system scales. So we'll be back after a message from these sponsors. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Welcome back to Street Level Marketing. I'm here with Troy Cunningham Jackson from Sugar and Leather AI, and now we're getting practical. What the systems actually does day to day, and how a small business can run it without turning their brand into a robot. This is where the audience gets clarity, the difference between AI tools and the AI-driven operating system. We'll define the moving parts, the acquisition, retention, the content, and the ops, and show how Aries AI stitches workflows together so execution speeds up without sacrificing quality. Troy, walk me through a real scenario. A small business wakes up Monday morning. What does Aries AI handle before the owner even opens their inbox?
So the first thing Aries AI is going to do is, well, other than having answered all your customers' questions all night long, but especially in the marketing, is it's going to see what your competitors are talking about and what the market is talking about. So it's going to fill up your it's going to fill up your calendar with what it thinks you should be saying to make sure that you're in line with the market and speaking about what they're talking about.
That makes you called out Salesforce being expensive, and I tend to agree with you. I've been on Salesforce, in one form or another over the last 15 years, and other tools feeling static. What did you rebuild first, like the pipeline logic, the agent workflow, or the customer intelligence?
I did the agent workflow first, and the automation portion of it. In fact, the front end, the original front end of Aries was simply just Slack because and really, but with vibe coding these days, you can vibe code a front end, and then you only really need the front end to organize the data, to be honest with you, and then how you interact with it from there.
What do you consider the non-negotiable human layer, the parts that should stay human no matter how advanced the system gets?
So, any of these systems that say we're going to get your SEO up in 30 days, or we're going to take over your marketing immediately, or here, just plug in and we'll start doing your marketing immediately. Don't do that. Any of those systems that do that are going to create algorithmic decline, and it's a long time to recover from that, and you're going to lose connection with your audience. The first thing you need to do is build your customer story and your narrative. It's narrative AI that's going to change the difference, and getting your founder story down and your company story down and why you're in business. It needs to start before you ever think about posting a single thing.
If someone wants measured wins fast, what are the first three KPIs you tune inside the system?
The first KPIs that we're going to look at is, does it sound like you? So
Okay.
we have to first collect, if you're going to do AEO and GEO in this day and age, first of all, GEO takes about 3 months and AEO takes almost a year. So your quick wins slow down. We could go back and answer the phone for you. That'd be great. That's a good quick win. Your customers never go with their question unanswered. Obviously, we could do that, but you need to get your website up to have your blogs on there, your founder story on there, and can you look at a post, and does it sound like you, and does it speak to your customers? That's the first KPI, is how the system sounds when it comes to the marketing, of course.
Yeah. Where do most small businesses break automation? Is it the bad data, unclear offers, or trying to scale before they've nailed the positioning?
You know, I think companies, well, I think the first thing that they make the mistake on is inconsistency. And that's where Aries AI shines, is that you don't want to post 3 days a week, or post for 3 weeks and then take a week off,
Right.
or even post 5 days a week, post all 7 days. Let the AI fill in the gaps for you. And it's that consistency to market that'll get you the wins in the algorithm, and it'll get you the wins with the customers too. You want to be there when the customer's thinking about you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you don't want a big break or pause in between what you're doing. You want to, even if it's something small every day. But when you're setting it up with the AI, do you find that if the AI is generating the content, do you get any flags for that when you're doing, with the SEO, or is it still not kind of frowned upon as far as how you're being seen online?
With it depends. When people try to post too fast, and they don't get their narrative in there, and they don't make sure that it sounds like them, it gets flagged all the time. But when I'm posting through my AI, they think I'm the AI, and the AI is the real person. Your AI should sound more human than you. As soon as you see those short posts, if somebody has a post that's like 10 lines long with a bunch of short sentences, you're going to get flagged for AI, and you're going to get algorithmic decline every time. That's just simply not how people talk.
There has to be substance to the paragraphs and real structure.
There needs to be a balance between substance and depth to your post, but also the clear message. I think most people skip too quick to the clear, concise message, and then you're too concise, and you didn't actually say anything, and then you get the decline in the algorithm.
What does a healthy handoff between the automation and the human operator actually look like inside your system?
Well, inside the marketing system part of Aries AI, it's going to fill up your calendar. So you look at the post, and you're approving and declining the post. If you're seeing too many posts that you have to push back, or if you're realizing that you're not pushing back enough, then you may just sound too much like other people. I think the biggest thing is you need to talk to your AI. Your AI needs to hear your voice. If you're just typing to your AI, it's gonna come out all wrong.
Is the AI planning out the post based on the, I guess, your business needs? Or are you giving it like an outline of like topics that you want to cover over, say, the next 30 days, and then it's creating it? Like, how does that work?
It's done in two ways. First, you have your own narrative and what you want to talk about. And then it's planning out your posts based on what your customers and the market is saying, then running it through your narration. But in the ideal world, you should get onto Aries every day and talk to it about, you should see what the clients are talking about, and then you should put your input into it every single day. What's amazing about Aries, though, is that it will fill in the gaps when you're missing. But if you're not interacting with it on a regular basis, then that's where an account manager will come back in and make sure that we put a human voice to it. No matter how good the AI is, you will start to sound like everybody else, and you need your custom voice in there. We need to know what you're saying about it. If you sound exactly like your competitors, that's where you could end up getting flagged. And if you're not putting your voice in, then there's no differentiator for you.
Yeah. For a company with a limited budget and limited time, which workflow usually delivers like the fastest payback once it's automated correctly?
Well, Like I said, you start everything with sales and marketing. So I'll drive your AI traffic and your AI your website traffic, and your customer trust. Because the first thing that that customers are doing these days is they are going into AI and asking them about you and about your company. And that's where we're going to start first. That way, when you get on the phone, people are already excited to talk to you and know that you're an expert in the field.
When a small business, usually says, "I tried AI and it didn't work," what do you usually find missing from their setup?
When you say small business, it really depends. It has to do with did you spend the time and build it and working with the AI and learning it and having it learn you? Or did you just take the out of the box thing? Most people just take the out of the box build and start posting, and that's a miss. But when you talk about a small team, if you're talking about a company, then, and the leadership, the biggest thing is you do not have the buy-in from your employees because they think it's there to replace them. And until you've gotten the buy-in from your employees, and them using the system properly and telling them that you're going to scale the business and hire more people because of AI, you're going to make their jobs easier. Until you get your employees buy-in, you're never really going to see the results from AI.
Yeah, I mean that goes with the online chat, the AI web chats. I mean, you just don't plug them in and they start communicating with customers. I mean, they got to be trained. And it takes time. I mean, it takes a commitment. And I think a lot of businesses, fail to see that. And I think sometimes the vendors fail to present that. They'll present a product that's great. You see it's great, but they don't tell you what was put into it to make it that great, and the time commitment that it's going to need.
I, when I started with AI, I was spending 40 hours a week on my AI. But that's what you should be doing. If it's like training an employee. AI is like an employee. If you don't spend time training your employees, then they don't do a good job for you. That's just life.
Exactly right. They don't work out. So we're out of time. Troy, if somebody wants to follow your work or learn more about Sugar and Leather AI or Aries AI, where should they go?
Well, definitely my LinkedIn, Troy Jackson, California there, but my website, sugarandleather.com. You can simply see my coaches network, and I'll have Sugar and Leather AI up soon.
So coming up next, we're going to talk about visibility in the AI era because rankings isn't the whole game anymore. I'm going to get you the framework for SEO, AEO, and GEO, and how businesses earn trust at machine speed. So we'll be back after a word from these sponsors. Welcome back. I'm still with Troy Cunningham Jackson, and now we're stepping into the part that's changing marketing in real time. How customers discover you when search results are turning into answers, and answers are getting generated by AI. The audience hears the buzzwords everywhere, SEO, AEO, GEO, EAT, but most people don't know how they connect. The segment will translate into a clear authority system, how to get cited, summarized, and trusted by both humans and machines, especially as AI-generated overviews and answer engines shape buying decisions. Troy, when you say you integrate SEO, AEO, GEO, and EEAT, one, explain to the audience what each of those mean. What's the stack order? What's more important first? What has to be true first, before the rest works?
Thanks. So let's go quickly through the definitions to make sure there's no confusion there. So SEO used to be search engine optimization. You used to just be able to black hat that, just be able to stick some data in there. You'd show up at the top of Google, or you could pay Google to be on top. It's now turned into search everywhere optimization. As anybody who's trying to sell you SEO, they're living in the past because SEO takes care of itself. The search engine will take care of itself. GEO is generative engine optimization. Generative AI learns over time about your business, and that's going to take about 3 months. And then answer engine optimization takes about a year. And what that is that's the zero-click answers that because most people get their answer from AI without ever clicking on your website. When you talk about EAT, that's experience, expertise, authority, and trust, right? And again, there is no substitute in business, and there is no substitute in AI for earning that over time. So when you talk about how to build those first, the first thing you have to start with is your website. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand about AI in general is that AI is incentivized to talk about humans and to support humans. It's part of the reward system of the AI itself. So that means that your business now needs to start with your story. So you need to get your story, your founder story, who you are, why you do what you do, and then you need to start there. So you start with you, then your business, then your product, then where that business, what, how that product supports this type of human or this type of human or this type of human, because it wants to talk about you and then end with how it's going to help somebody. And it will recommend your products if you give it a clear narrative story. You ever see ChatGPT just talks too much? You've got to ask it a little question. It is starved for those answers. So it is constantly making stuff up to try to fill in the gaps to give you this information. It's almost like it's desperate to please you. Well, all you have to do then, if you want to AI to say what you want, is tell it how to say that. And all of AI is built, the data is built off of a word. It always starts with word. So like actually, if you look at it, it's not a cloud necessarily, it's a big funnel. And so and you need to give it the intro words. And if the intro words are your business, all business looks the same. All products looks the same to AI. The person is different. Your name, Tim Moran, Chevy, boom, boom, boom. And then he supports these kinds of businesses. So now it's this kind of business is looking for this, connects you to Tim. Boom. Now you've made a human connection through AI. It won't recommend your business unless you pay it to, right?
And another thing I noticed, is in the automotive space, because I make sure we're testing our, I'll do our searches to see where we're coming up and what words and. It really, you don't get mentioned if, and it will always show some kind of customer reviews, almost every time what other customers are saying about you and, why they shop with you, why they don't, so, and Google, I think, is getting really strict now on making sure your reviews are authentic. You can't give gift cards anymore or, anything like that. I mean, you got to do a good job, basically, or you're not going to get shown. They're flag you, and then you're going to get penalized. If I'm a local business, what content format earns AI trust fastest? Is it FAQs, comparison pages, or case studies, or something else, or a combination of those?
It's the well, you need a combination of two different things when you're doing AI. It's a short form and long form. So first you need to have long form content on your website that is specifically talking about what your story is, and it needs to some place to look for all those answers. So it's more about the knowledge base, and the FAQs will actually overcome the reviews over time. Even though it's pulling the reviews from different places, when your social media is backlinked into your web page, you put the review out there, then you backlink it into your website and say why that customer recommended you and why you are good for that customer, right? And as when it has that answer, it's you're much better off.
What's a practical EAT upgrade a business can do this week that will actually move credibility?
The first, the number one thing I tell anybody here, free advice, put a blog or knowledge base on your website, put long form content. You want to have white papers, I don't know, founder stories, create the human element of your website. So that way AI will look at your website and be able to tell your story and see you as a human with a that's interested in human outcomes, not just, say, selling a car or something,
Yeah.
right?
Where are brands getting it wrong with AI visibility right now that you see? Are they over-optimizing keywords, under-investing in proof, or publishing content with no point of view?
It's publishing content with no point of view, and they don't give AI the whys. And if AI doesn't have the whys, then it's going to go someplace else to find the whys or make them up, and then you're lost in the weeds, right?
Right. Give me your don't do this list. What are the top mistakes that cause businesses to disappear inside AI generated answers?
Well, don't do the quick fixes. Automate your posts right away. Take, you know, don't let AI post for you for the first 30 days.
Okay.
Talk to your AI, build write at least 10 really solid, amazing posts and get them out there. See the and then put those into see how they respond, how your customers are responding to those, what's getting the most likes, the most conversation, and then put that into AI. Like, say, even just Claude, just stick it in Claude and like this every time, and then start creating your posts, then stick it through Claude to have it post through that for you.
Yeah. Is Aries using its own proprietary large language model to create the content, or are you plugging into and like any of the third parties?
Not yet, not yet. Currently, you can do it. I'm doing it all through commercially available products. So
Okay.
actually, I could build you an Aries AI that you could run locally through commercially available products as opposed to hosting it. The advantage of me hosting it is that then it's constantly updated by my team. And so Aries AI is a $2 million build that's going to be constantly iterated, and I'm probably only about $300,000 of the way into it. So it will be running on local AI to just eat up to just be able to run it on my own AI I can control. But right now it's all commercially available.
Is all the data from the performance of the websites that people are signed up to all tracking in the back end, because I gotta think that that data helps the performance of future posts if it's doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It grabs all of your performance metrics off of all your social medias, off of all of your websites. The thing is, you know, there's two types of AI, right? There's agentic AI where it's out there just doing things for you, and then there's generative AI, which learns over time and improves the agentic AI. So you want to use both types of AI. So you need to feed it mass amounts of data. AI is a data, like it can just absorb tons and tons of data. So we connect and we authenticate with every single one of the social medias as opposed to just grab and post. So that way it can grab all of the data, every ounce of data you can Aries can grab, it's grabbing and putting in there.
Important is the structured data and schema in the new environment with the AEO and GEO, and where do businesses tend to overcomplicate it?
Well, I think businesses often end up overcomplicating it using things like Notion, Salesforce, HubSpot. Then they're trying to translate between that and their own database. Then, you know, and that's where Aries AI, the first thing I did was break the thing apart and let you run everything on a substrate. So that way your social media and CRM and everything can grab from one central hub of data, and then the agents can act independently as opposed to being stuck inside of a system's schema or data structure, and then translate to this data structure, and then translate to this data structure. You're wasting time translating, and then your data is in different areas and in different formats each time. So by breaking it apart, then you don't want agents inside your software. You want it acting on the outside of your software and grabbing the data from the same place that is. I'll give you a quick example. Say you call into Aries and you go to schedule a phone call, right? So a lot of people could go to cal.com or Calendly and hope that it has the right information. Instead, what we do is we have the agent goes directly to your Google Calendar and through an API and sees exactly what's available, then sets the appointment with the client, and then goes to say cal.com to then make the appointments. Because I don't need to rewrite all the logic around it, but I don't want to trust that the data inside cal.com is updated to what's actually in your Google Calendar, because those syncings end up way out of sort all the time. So you go straight to the horse's mouth for the data, then you communicate with the customer. Once you figure it out, then you can let people's cal.com or different things schedule it and update everybody and coordinate and do all that kind of good stuff. But you need that raw data to be coming into AI, because it doesn't need it structured the way a human does.
Yeah, that makes sense. In our final segment, I'm going to ask you to, for the rollout plan, how the implementation works, what's burning time, burning budget, and breaking the brand, and what the future operator looks like when AI becomes the default teammate, when we come back from a word from our sponsors. Stay connected to this show and every other Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like, by downloading the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or unlocking nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Welcome back to the final segment of Street Level Marketing. I'm here with Troy Cunningham Jackson, and now we're going to make this actionable, the rollout plan, the guardrails, and how to build a system that drives revenue without turning your marketing into noise. We're going to talk about the strategy and the steps, the implementation sequence, where to start, how to test fast, and how to keep the brand voice consistent, which is probably the most important part. We're also going to address the real-world constraints, limited staff, inconsistent data, and the temptation to automate before the fundamentals are ready. Troy, if I give you 30 days, what's your step-by-step rollout sequence? What do you install? What do you measure? And what do you not touch yet?
Yeah, so the first thing we're not going to touch is your marketing and your social media. And we're not necessarily going to touch your customers right away, right? So we're gonna bring it in. Obviously, we got to get all your data, get it into the system, create the CRM. That'll all be happening in the background. But what you're gonna spend most of your time doing in the first 30 days is building your brand voice, updating your website to make sure that the AI knows what to say about you, and creating that narrative AI that'll tell your brand story and sound like you.
Where do you start building truth in the system? Offer clarity, the data hygiene, or customer journey mapping, and why?
I think data, you've got to get the data out of the old systems. People tell me all the time, "Oh, well, we could just integrate this back into HubSpot or something." No. I'm going to pull this out into a Supabase and deal with it myself. So that way my agents can get to it. You can have your HubSpot go and access my data then at that point, but I need there to be a truth of data. But then we're going to go in there and we're going to, like I said, it's all about your brand story and get in there. And how do you talk to your customers? How do you post on social media? Why are you doing your business the way you're doing it? And that's got to be where you start.
What's the moment you know it's working? Like, what should a business see in terms of maybe leads, a conversion rate, or retention? Like, and what's the timeline look like?
So after the first 30 days, you'll have consistent 7 days a week posts that sound like you. Assuming that you continue to talk to it, of course, and you continue to interact with the system. And then you're going to see that no customer, you are never have a customer waiting on an email. You're never going to have a customer who's frustrated they couldn't get a hold of somebody. That's going to be the customer service is going to be the first thing that you see in there. How you build Aries to sell for you, that takes a fair amount of time because it takes the generative AI to learn how to listen to you. When you look at our Sequence CRM that's inside there, it will coach your salespeople as you go. It will update your CRM while you're talking to the customer. But that's all in the 30, 60, 90, 120 days because it takes an awful lot of time and an awful lot of human man hours to sit down and work with it to tell it what's important and what's not. And there's just no getting around that amount of time.
Yeah. Is this replacing CRMs for businesses? And I asked that because in the automotive space, like I said, we use DealerSocket, which, it communicates with DealerBuild and, we have inventory coming in there. So is the Aries going to be like a separate system that
Well, it depends. Aries is what you make it out to be. So, I would say probably in a business that has a very specific CRM section, you're probably just going to still use your CRM. And then at that point, we're going to build Aries AI to do your marketing, most likely. And then even then, I'm not going to sell you something that isn't going to work for you. So I might even just say, hey, why don't we go with this third-party company to do your AI receptionist? Because unless you're replacing everything in your business, then Aries AI can't work perfectly for you. So we'd probably just stick in the performance marketing side of it.
Got it. How do you keep the human creativity in the loop so the brand doesn't get homogenized by automation?
That's where we're going to follow up with you and be like, okay, Tim, did you look at this post? What do you have to say about it? And we'll work with you for the first 30 days to ensure that every single post and interacting with it. And we'll see on the backside, if you've gone too many days without interacting with your post, we'll go and talk to Aries for you. But then we're going to be like, hey, Tim, we need to know your feedback on this, and we'll schedule a call with you and be like, okay, let's talk about what's going on in the market and make sure that we update your brand voice. And if that means my account manager needs to sit down with you once a week to get your feedback on what's going on new in the market, then that's fine. We can fill in those gaps for you, but we'll be watching to see make sure that you're not just setting this thing on autopilot because, to be honest with you, we got skin in the game too. My reputation is on the line with your reputation, right?
What's the biggest rollout mistake you see when companies try to move too fast with AI implementation?
They skip the employees. Too many times they just come out there and they say, hey, here's this new system. It's amazing how easy AI is to use once you've started using it, but there's so much fear. And in fact, a whole panel on From Fear to Framework, right? A whole panel series about that, because it's the fear of AI is the biggest problem. Is either you're afraid of learning something new, or you're afraid it's going to replace your job, or you're just intimidated in general. I mean, for God's sake, we're talking to a human, a computer that has the IQ of Einstein, but when you sit down and you learn it and you get the employees buy-in, they're going to love working with it. And the other thing I will warn people too is when you bring AI into your business, it exposes your bad management, and it exposes bad management hires faster than it does anything, because your employees now have an Einstein level person and they're talking to them about how good you are. So make sure that you start by training your managers, then you get the employees involved. And then you guys all tackle it together.
It's funny that many have the fear that AI is going to take your jobs, but the caveat to that, if you don't start using AI, it is going to take your job. But the ones that start using it and implementing it into their work day, you're going to have a leg up and you know, on people that aren't. And I really think that's where it's going to come into play for people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think how many of us really are, we're dying to sit in a cubicle 24/7, or we're dying to be delivery drivers, or dying to, the jobs that it replaces are the mundane tasks. You think about, even if you're running a business, what 10% of your time is spent thinking? I think it's a new age of a new renaissance. It's a new age of thinking. It's going to free you up from your everyday tasks to allow you to get back to being human and thinking and being great at your job, as opposed to just checking off boxes all day long.
If you were advising a founder watching this right now, what's the one action they should take this week to start for with AI-driven revenue system?
First thing you do is download ChatGPT or Claude, whichever one you like, one of the two that keeps context over time, and have it start teaching you. Ask it questions. The people who are successful with AI, whether it be personally or professionally, start by with for me to force it to do something for you. It's what can I learn? How can it teach me, and how can we do this together? Think of it as a partner, as opposed to a tool.
I use it daily. I'm using, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 different AI systems, you know, down to it
Yes.
all throughout the day. It's like, you know, it's almost an obsession. I love it, you know.
Oh,
So
it's
it's going, it's amazing.
absolutely.
Before I let you go, you know, give the audience, you know, one more time where they can connect with you, explore your websites, and find more about you.
Definitely. Well, you can get onto my LinkedIn. That's where I post an awful lot about the business side of it. My website there, sugarandleather.com. I built a coaches network because I think that being a coach is hard, and it's all about the humans. And it's the humans of Sugar and Leather that make it really great. Soon I'll have Sugar and Leather AI up, and we'll be able to and we'll be rolling out Aries later on in the next week or two. We'll be going live multiple times a week on LinkedIn to make sure that people can see every aspect of the business. It's way too complicated of a system for you to sit down and learn it in one section. So,
Troy, thanks for bringing real clarity. Today I'm walking away with a simple truth. The winners won't be the businesses with the most tools. They'll be the ones with the cleanest system. If you're watching and you've been overwhelmed by AI, start small and start building authority. Build workflows that protect your time and make every move measurable. I'm Mark W. Lamplew Jr., and this was Street Level Marketing. We'll see you next time.